The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we feature part one of a two-part series about traveling by train. Now, on today's program, we're going to be riding the Piedmont, how to explore nine cities from North Carolina's own passenger train. Writer Richard Stradling's article was published in the June 19, 2022 online edition of the News and Observer. In the first part of his article, Richard gives us an overview of train travel in central North Carolina and then provides snapshots of the cities where the train makes daily stops. Now, keep in mind, this is an article written in 2022, so there probably have been some changes made in that time, but I would encourage you to check in with the websites we may offer, and if you want to travel by train sometime. My wife used to take her class on this particular train to Charlotte to the Discovery Museum there, and so I know a little bit about it. So let's learn more from Richard. Traveling to the cities of North Carolina's midsection usually means joining the throng of cars and trucks on a 6 or 8 lane highway lined with billboards for fast food restaurants and gas stations. From between the guardrails, one part of the state can look like any other. But there is an alternative, one more familiar to our ancestors or to tourists and backpackers in Europe or Asia. The Piedmont, a train owned by the state of North Carolina and operated by Amtrak, makes 3 round trips a day between Raleigh and Charlotte, with stops in 7 cities and towns in between. The route carves a 173-mile arc across 9 counties and, with the notable exception of the state's largest city, delivers people to historic downtowns with shops, breweries, restaurants, museums, and minor league baseball parks, 3 of them, within walking distance of the stations. On the way, the Piedmont carries passengers through Main Street business districts, old mill towns, and countryside that are invisible from interstate highways. From the gently rocking coaches, riders catch glimpses of junkyards and backyards, churches and college campuses, and the mills and factories of what was the state's industrial heartland when textiles, tobacco, and furniture powered the economy. If you've never ridden the Piedmont, consider this your introduction to train travel in North Carolina. If you have taken the train, what follows might inspire you to get off in a town you've never visited before. The following guide has information about all 9 stops on the Piedmont. The destinations are the same as the first leg of the Carolinian. This is another Amtrak train that makes 1 trip a day between Charlotte and New York City via Raleigh. We've included some of what you might find within walking distance of each station. We're considering that to be a half mile, understanding that everyone's idea of a reasonable walk may differ. We also include a list of hotels near the stations in case you want to make a night of it and some places to visit or a short taxi or rideshare trip away. So, here we go. A train for North Carolinians is the next section. North Carolina has more passenger rail service than most states outside of the Northeast. 4 of Amtrak's long-distance trains, the Crescent, New York to New Orleans, the Silver Meteor and Silver Star, New York to Miami, and the Palmetto, New York to Savannah, each pass through twice a day going north and south, though sometimes late at night or in the wee hours of the morning. What sets North Carolina apart is the Piedmont. Other states subsidize Amtrak service, but few have been as aggressive in establishing an intercity passenger train that never leaves the state. The Piedmont made its inaugural run from Raleigh to Charlotte in May 1995. By then, the state-subsidized Carolinian had been making daily round trips between Charlotte and New York for 5 years, but that meant that people could catch a train between the state's 2 largest cities only once a day. The state approached Amtrak about adding another train, but the National Railroad balked, saying it didn't have the equipment. So the North Carolina Department of Transportation, or NCDOT, began buying its own engines and coaches, usually decades old, and refurbishing them. The Piedmont was born. The state also helped local communities upgrade their passenger trains and made track improvements that allowed the trains to go faster. In 1995, at best, the Piedmont took 3 hours and 45 minutes to go between Raleigh and Charlotte. Now it's 3 hours and 10 minutes. More upgrades are coming. NCDOT has received $157 million in federal grants to buy new locomotives and 26 new passenger cars, the first new equipment the state has ever had on the Piedmont. Those cars are expected to arrive in 2025. Also that year, a new train station is scheduled to open in Uptown Charlotte, bringing rail passengers to the center city for the first time since the early 1960s. When that happens, NCDOT hopes to add a fourth round of the Piedmont, which, along with the Carolinian, will mean people will be able to catch a train between Raleigh and Charlotte 5 times a day. What you need to know about riding the train. The southbound Piedmont leaves Raleigh at 6:30 and 10 a.m. and 3:15 p.m., with stops in Cary, Durham, Burlington, Greensboro, High Point, Salisbury, Kannapolis, and Charlotte. The northbound Piedmont leaves Charlotte at 10:30 a.m. and 3:15 and 7 p.m., making the same stops in reverse. The northbound Carolinian leaves Charlotte at 6:30 a.m., making all the same stops, but continues on north through Selma, Wilson, and Rocky Mount on its way to the northeast. The southbound Carolinian is scheduled to depart Raleigh at 5:30 p.m., though after a full day of travel from New York, it can run late. The cost of a ticket varies by distance. One way from Raleigh to Charlotte is $30. Now, keep in mind these prices quoted here were a year ago, so there have likely been changes. Raleigh to Greensboro is $12. You can buy tickets at the stations from either ticket agents, Raleigh, Cary, Durham, Greensboro, and Charlotte, or from kiosk in Burlington, High Point, Salisbury, and Kannapolis. You can also buy them in advance through Amtrak or on NCDOT's website, ncbytrain.org. That's ncbytrain.org, which has more information than Amtrak's site, including scheduled arrival and departure times. Each passenger can bring two pieces of luggage, and anything more must be checked 45 minutes before departure. There are bike racks in the luggage cars, but space is limited, and you need to reserve a spot in advance. You can arrange to bring a small dog or cat on the train for a fee, but it must remain in a carrier and be odorless, harmless, not disruptive, and require no attention during travel. The Piedmont serves free water and coffee in the lounge car, where you'll also find vending machines with drinks and snacks. You're also welcome to bring your own food on board, though not alcoholic beverages. Here's a brief description of each stop and what you might find there. You should do some research on your own before you start out, especially in this era of COVID-19 and labor shortages, to make sure the museum, bar, or restaurant you want to visit will be open when you get there. And we're going to start in Raleigh. Raleigh was established in 1792 to become North Carolina's capital city, and for most of its history, state government and its appendages were the city's main preoccupation. That included not only the legislature, governor, and state bureaucracy, but also a large psychiatric hospital and prisons, and starting in 1887, the college now known as North Carolina State University. But partly because of NCSU and its graduates and the establishment of Research Triangle Park in 1959, Raleigh and surrounding Wake County became one of the fastest-growing regions in the country, drawing companies and people from all over the world. That's reflected in the city's downtown, which has come alive in the past two decades with restaurants, bars, and shops catering to visitors and the workers and residents in the new buildings sprouting up. The train station is on the west side of downtown in an area known as the Warehouse District for the one- and two-story brick buildings that clustered around the railroad tracks more than a century ago. From here, it's a five-block walk to Fayetteville Street, the city's heart. The station. Raleigh Union Station opened in 2018 with a cavernous waiting room built in the shell of a former steel warehouse. Echoes of the building's past are found throughout, including the massive steel pillars and ceiling beams and two gantries that used to move steel overhead. The station has the first raised passenger platform in North Carolina, allowing people to walk on or off the train without stairs. To reach the platform from the waiting area, passengers descend on a long walkway lined with rusted steel plates salvaged from the old warehouse, then ascend by escalator or elevator. This is at 510 West Martin Street. Now, within walking distance, downtown Raleigh is easy to navigate on foot, but several of the most popular destinations are just beyond the half-mile threshold. These include the Marbles Kids Museum at 301 East Target Street on Moore Square, and the North Carolina Museum of History and North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences, both on Bicentennial Plaza and not far from the state capitol. The plaza runs between the historic 1840 State Capitol building, which is open to the public Monday through Saturday, and the Legislative Building, where the General Assembly has met since it opened in the 1960s. Within a few blocks of the station, you'll find several restaurants in the Morgan Street Food Hall, with a bar and nearly two dozen eateries. You'll also find Cam Raleigh, a contemporary art museum, Father and Son, a beloved thrift shop with vintage clothing, furniture and accessories, and Videre Chocolate Factory and Crank Arm Brewing. Also within reach is the Glenwood South Entertainment District, home to the city's biggest nightlife and great restaurants worth visiting during the day. There are way too many places to eat and drink to list in this article, so for more information, just check out downtownraleigh.org. That's downtownraleigh.org. Now, hotels within walking distance, like some of the city's attractions, some of Raleigh's growing number of downtown hotels might be considered beyond a comfortable walking distance, depending on your preference and your luggage. Now, within five blocks, you'll find Hotel 83, and then you'll have the AC Hotel Downtown Raleigh, the Sheraton Raleigh Hotel, the Raleigh Marriott City Center, Residence Inn by Marriott, and the Holiday Inn downtown. A short ride away, the State Farmers Market, about 2 miles from the station, has loads of seasonal fruits and vegetables, as well as North Carolina-made foods. Come for breakfast all day at the State Farmers Market restaurant, or lunch on fried fish, shrimp, and crab at the North Carolina Seafood Restaurant. Its address is 1201 Agriculture Street. The North Carolina Museum of Art was created by the General Assembly in the 1940s and has a collection that ranges from ancient to contemporary. The museum left downtown in the 1980s for more space 5 miles west, and its two buildings are surrounded by a 164-acre park with outdoor art and trails. Admission is free, though beware, the main building is closed until the end of October for renovations, and of course that was last year and it has since reopened. Now, if you bring your bike, Raleigh has an extensive greenway trail system with connections downtown. And if you want a bike map or a map to help you with your biking, go to raleighnc.gov/find-a-trail. That's raleighnc.gov/find-a-trail. On to Cary. Like many communities along the Piedmont route, Cary owes its existence to the railroad. When the Chatham Railroad branched off the North Carolina Railroad's main line in the late 1860s, the junction became the center of the town that was incorporated in 1871. The old house that now is part of the Page Walker Arts and History Center just north of the tracks was built as a hotel for railroad passengers. Though it insists on calling itself a town, Cary is now a sprawling suburb of more than 175,000 residents. But the area around the train station still has the feel of the small railroad town it was for much of its history. The station. Cary's train station is at the spot where the North Carolina Railroad and the former Seaboard Airline diverged. The town's old passenger station was torn down in the 1970s, so the state built a small one in 1996, then a decade later added a platform where Amtrak's Silver Star Florida train could stop. The station was doubled in size in 2011, including a separate waiting room for Go Cary and Go Triangle bus riders, all this at 211 West Academy Street. Within walking distance, Cary's downtown is small but hosts a growing number of places to eat and drink. This includes three bakeries, La Farm, with its French breads and pastries at 220 West Chatham Street, and Laura's German Bakery at 320 West Chatham Street, and Once in a Blue Moon Bakery and Cafe at 115 West Chatham Street. There are other bakeries, there are also two breweries, I should say, near the station, Bond Brothers Beer Company at 202 East Cedar Street, and Cotton House Craft Breweries at 307 South Academy, and a hard cider bar called Bull City Cider Works at 210 East Chatham Street. Restaurants include the upscale Southern Eatery and Scratch Kitchen and Tap Room at 160 East Cedar Street, the Bosphorus serving Turkish and Mediterranean food at 329 North Harrison Avenue, and then Hank's Downtown Dive at 111 East Chatham Street, which, despite its name, has tuna tartare and a $34 beef tenderloin on its menu. Save room for ice cream at Fresh, that's at 138 East Chatham Street, and see what's playing on the big screen next door at the Cary Theater. As you might tell from the article so far, Chatham Street's a very popular place. And to work all that off, walk around Cary Downtown Park, currently under construction but coming soon, or visit the Page Walker Arts and History Center, which, in addition to inside galleries and a local history museum, has a garden and outdoor exhibits. Hotels within walking distance, the Maiden Inn, this is a four-star boutique hotel about three blocks from the station. A short ride away, the entrance to William B. Umstead State Park, a 5,600-acre forest in the heart of the Triangle, less than 4 miles away. The park is laced with hiking trails. A good place to start is the Company Mill Trail, which winds down to an old mill site on Crabtree Creek. Now, if you bring your bike, Cary has extensive greenway system. It'll take you all over town. Look for the trails that head north to Lake Crabtree County Park, which has off-road cycling trails, or to Umstead State Park, which has an all-purpose trail suitable for bikes. If you're really feeling ambitious, you can follow Greenway Trails west to the American Tobacco Trail into Durham, or north and east through Umstead to the west side of Raleigh. Now on to Durham. Durham refers itself to as the City of Medicine because of the hospitals and healthcare companies found here. But the company's prosperity came from processing tobacco and making cigarettes, and signs of that legacy are everywhere. Durham was founded as a railroad stop in the years before the Civil War, and for more than a century thrived as a center of the tobacco industry. It's known as the Bull City, after the Bull Durham brand of tobacco long made here. Images of bulls and bull-derived names are everywhere. A bronze statue of Major the Bull stands at the center of the city across from the Bodega Urban Market. Today, the city of about 290,000 is known more for being home to Duke and North Carolina Central Universities, as well as a growing number of tech companies attracted to the city's old industrial buildings and to nearby Research Triangle Park. The former American Tobacco and Liggett and Myers factories and warehouses have been converted into offices, restaurants, condos, and other uses, as have other tobacco-related buildings in and around downtown. The station. Durham passengers arrive through one of the city's handsome brick tobacco warehouses. The rear of the warehouse, built in 1897, was converted into the Amtrak station in 2009, including a large waiting room with wooden benches under a soaring wood-beamed ceiling. The station is in a cluster of redeveloped tobacco warehouses and manufacturing buildings known as West Village on the west side of downtown. Now, within walking distance, nearly all of downtown Durham is within a half mile of the station. That includes the Durham Performing Arts Center, better known as DPAC, to residents in the area. Then there's the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, home of the venerable AAA minor league baseball team, the Carolina Theater, a historic venue for films and concerts, Durham Central Park, home to the city's farmers market on Wednesdays and Saturdays in season, and many other events, and the Brightleaf Square District, just beyond the massive Liggett and Myers factory, where the company made Chesterfields and other brands until the last cigarette rolled off the line in 2000. You can walk along the man-made river that flows between the former factories and warehouses of American Tobacco Campus, home to offices, restaurants, and the converted turkey coop, where the founder of Burt's Bees once lived. It was moved here in front of the company's headquarters from Maine in 2017. Explore the city's business district, where you'll find shops and galleries and the strip of buildings that once made up Durham's Black Wall Street. There are also numerous bars and restaurants, more than 75, according to Downtown Durham Incorporated, catering to all tastes and price ranges. And you can get more information online at discoverdurham.com. That's discoverdurham.com, or you may try downtowndurham.com/dine. That's downtowndurham.com/dine. The hotels within walking distance of the station include the Marriott City Center, Aloft, which is on the American Tobacco Campus, the 21C Museum Hotel, and this is a 17-story office tower as well, and then the Durham Hotel and Mid-Century Bank Building on Chapel Hill Street. Unscripted Durham, which revived the old Jack Tar Motor Lodge from the early 1990s, is also nearby at 202 Corcoran Street. Now, a short ride away, Sarah P. B. Duke Gardens, a 55-acre arboretum of themed and specialized gardens and landscapes, that's about 2 miles west on Duke University's main campus. The Durham Museum of Life and Science, with indoor and outdoor exhibits, a butterfly house, and resident black bears and red wolves, is 2.5 miles north. And the Haiti Heritage Center, which promotes the arts and cultures of the city's African-American community, is a little more than a mile southeast. Now, if you bring your bike, the American Tobacco Trail begins just south of Durham Bulls Athletic Park at the corner of Moorhead and Blackwell Streets, then heads into Chatham and Wake Counties. The South Ellerby Creek Trail begins on West Trinity Avenue and heads north where it connects with a network of trails in North Durham. Now we move to Burlington. Burlington got its start when the North Carolina Railroad chose to build repair shops for locomotives and rail cars here in 1855. The town that sprang up around the railroad complex was incorporated in 1866 as Company Shops. When the railroad work shifted elsewhere in the 1880s, the town appointed a committee to find a new name and settled on Burlington. Textiles took the place of the departed railroad jobs, and the city eventually came to call itself the Hosiery Center of the South. In the 1920s, a company called Burlington Mills was formed and specialized in rayon and other synthetics. It grew into a global giant called Burlington Industries, now gone after bankruptcy and mergers. The city's economy has since become more diversified, and its population has continued to grow, approaching 59,000 in 2021. The station, Company Shop Station, located, or opened rather, in 2003 in a former engine repair building that dates to the 1850s. The renovated building includes offices for the City Police Department and North Carolina Railroad's Whistle Stop exhibit of town and railroad history. From the platform, you can see the historic brick depot that was built in 1892 and used until Southern Railway discontinued passenger service to the city in the early 1960s. The old depot, now used for events, has been moved at least twice over the years. It is located rather at 101 North Main Street in Burlington. Now, within walking distance, the downtown Burlington Historic District is on the National Register of Historic Places, with buildings that went up during its heyday as a railroad and textile center. They include the former Atlantic Bank and Trust Company building, a 9-story Art Deco tower completed on South Main Street in 1929, now occupied by LabCorp. The historic district and surrounding blocks have a small but growing number of businesses that cater to visitors. They include Carolina Sundries, a specialty grocery store that serves breakfast and lunch, and then Smitty's Homemade Ice Cream, which boasts more than 100 flavors, and Burlington Beer Works, serving local brews as well as lunch, dinner, and brunch. And while its building on West Davie Street may not be historic, Zack's has been selling best hot dogs since 1928. Now, for shoppers, there are 5 vintage stores on 1 block of Main Street. Burlington Woman's Club Thrift Shop sells clothing. Main Street is vinyl, sells records. Low Vintage Instrument Company, mostly guitars and other stringed instruments. Brothers Vintage Toys and Games, like the name says, and Persnickety Books, which has a large selection of used books. For the adventurous, Persnickety sells sealed boxes full of paperbacks grouped by genre, including romance, western, and general fiction. Now, for other ideas, stop by the Alamance County Visitors Bureau. That's at 210 South Main Street, or go to the website visitalamance.com. That's visitalamance.com, or check out burlingtondowntown.com. That's burlingtondowntown.com. Now, hotels within walking distance, that's that half-mile radius they've been using, there are none within that radius from the station. But a short ride away, the Burlington City Park includes an amusement area with boat rides, a train, and the Menagerie Carousel, built around 1915 and moved from Ohio to Burlington in 1948. The carousel is being repaired, but it was expected to reopen late last year. It's about a mile and a half from South Main Street. Glencoe Mill Village and the Textile Heritage Museum are about 3.5 miles north of downtown. You can take a self-guided tour of the restored village, built around the Glencoe Mill, where textiles were made along the Hall River from 1882 to 1954. Former company store is now a 2-room textile museum. Now, if you bring your bike, the Burlington Parkway consists of 3 marked routes that radiate from downtown. They also connect with a larger system of Alamance County bike routes. For more information, check out burlingtonnc.gov/1499. That's burlingtonnc.gov/1499. Now, we'll check out Greensboro as we continue our journey. Greensboro, the state's third largest city, is with more than 300,000 residents, was founded in 1808 because it was centrally located in the new Guilford County. Greensboro remained a small courthouse town until residents, including a former governor, persuaded the General Assembly to include it on the route of the North Carolina Railroad, which was to connect Goldsboro and Charlotte. Now, Greensboro became a railroad hub, which helped attract manufacturers, particularly textile makers. Moses and Caesar Cone made Greensboro home to Cone Mills, which had textile plants across the South and employed thousands locally. Contour, the company that makes Lee and Wrangler jeans, is headquartered downtown, but the city is also home to Honda Jet and Mack Trucks, and soon a factory that makes supersonic jets. Greensboro has 2 state universities, the historically black NC Agricultural and Technical State University, or NCANT, and UNC Greensboro, and is one of 3 cities, along with Winston-Salem and High Point, that make up the Triad. The station. The Southern Railway built the station in 1927, with stone iconic columns holding up the canopy over the main doorway. Passengers leaving the main waiting room out to the platforms pass through a mural showing Southern's network in the 1920s. During its rails heyday, more than 40 passenger trains a day stopped here, but that had dwindled to 2. The north and southbound Southern Crescent between the New York and New Orleans when the station closed in 1979. The city and NCDOT worked together to reopen the station, first for local and regional buses in 2003 and then to trains in 2005. It was renamed the J. Douglas Galen Depot in honor of a former member of the City Council and State Board of Transportation. The station has 2 platforms, one for Crescent passengers, the other for the Carolinian and Piedmont. Then, within walking distance, the train station's 2 blocks from Elm Street, the heart of the city's downtown business district. There you'll find a former Crest department store and the Jefferson Standard Life Insurance Building, an 18-story terracotta and granite tower that was once the tallest building in the South when it opened in 1923. In between, at 134 South Elm, is the International Civil Rights Center and Museum and the former Woolworth store, where 4 black students from North Carolina A&T launched the sit-in movement by sitting at a whites-only lunch counter. If you see families with kids getting off the train, chances are they're headed to the Greensboro Children's Museum on North Church Street. There you'll find an older crowd. Then you'll find an older crowd at Blandwood Mansion and Museum. That's a colonial home transformed into a Tuscan villa in 1846 by John Motley Moorhead, the former governor who helped lure the railroad. And this is all at West Washington Street. So, lots of things to do there in Greensboro. We're going to pick up there next week. We'll read a couple of more articles before we move on down the line, so to speak, as we enjoy traveling by train across North Carolina and other adventures by train. Thank you for being with us today. Hope you've enjoyed the episode of Armchair Traveler about train travel and that you'll be listening next time for part 2. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and remind you the content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.